countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, while for most businesses the disruption of 2020 has been immense and remains the case in most cases, whether it being forced to close or to leave staff, work from home, COVID has left its mark on the way we do business. But how difficult is it trying to run a company that has over 2,400 staff dotted all across the globe? Well, Ornua, which of course owns the iconic Kerrygold brand, is in that situation. Kerrygold recently became Ireland's first 1 billion euro food brand. And the CEO, John Jordan, is with me in studio. John, good morning. Thanks for coming in. Let's talk about the good news first, because I know your colleague Roisin Henerty this week won the Irish Times Business Person of the Year award in recognition of hitting that billion euro mark. Put into context how big that is.
Good morning, Damien, and thanks for the invite. It's nice to be in studio looking at you and being able to engage with you, given the context of the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Roisin won Irish Times Business Person of the Year award. It's a fantastic recognition for Roisin and the work she's done. But to be fair, Roisin would be the first to say it's for Ornua. It's for the 60 years of investment made by farmers in Ireland, the dairy co-ops in Ireland, and the people who worked in Ornua for the last 60 years, developing routes to market for Irish dairy products. And when you look at today, Damien, you mentioned it, it's 2,400 people working for Ornua around the world, 2.3 billion euro sales. And those people are across 13 factories in places as far flung as the US, UK, Germany, Spain, Algeria, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, China. So it's an incredible breadth of an organisation. And we're very fortunate that our job is made very easy by the Irish farmers. The men and women who were up this morning milking cows and who hopefully are now sitting down having a scone.
Yeah.
Lathered in Kerrygold butter and a cup of tea, listen to Damien O'Reilly. But they're the people who produce the best quality milk in the world.
Yeah.
And it's processed then in state-of-the-art factories, really well-invested factories in Ireland. And when you combine that with the routes to market that Ornua have, whether it's in the brand or ingredients business, it's a really fantastic value
and
asset.
And you've hit, as I said, 1 billion euro in sales of Kerrygold all over the world.
Yeah, if you think about that and put the billion euros, it's a huge number. Ireland's first ever billion euro food brand. We sell over a million packets of Kerrygold a day.
Wow.
365 days a year, over a million packets of Kerrygold sold around the world today. And think about it, it's a brand that's ubiquity Irish.
Yeah.
We all own it. You know, we've all been on holidays, and I'm saying this as somebody who works in Ornua, but I have so many friends and family who do it. We've been on holidays around the world, and you go into a shop, whether you're in Lanzarote or you're in New York or wherever you are, and you see Kerrygold on the shelf, and there's a little bit of pride.
Yeah.
I'd ask you, maybe tidy it up and fix it up and give us an extra
shelf. And that's
an
come from the milk from Irish cows as opposed to cows in that particular country. How difficult has it been for you to try and run an organisation like that globally while being confined to your house and Maynooth for most of the last 6 months?
It's challenging, Damien. And I suppose there's two aspects to that, maybe. There's the physical and then there's the emotional piece of it. On the physical side, I mean, the priority for Ornua was clearly health, safety and well-being of our employees. Mm. And secondly, keeping routes to market open so you could actually ship product out. That was a challenge. Of the 2,400 people who work for Ornua, about 1,800 of those work in factories. So we had to make sure we had factories protocols and procedures in place where they go to work and feel safe and be safe and continue to produce product. Then you have 600 people at home. Have they got the IT infrastructure? But then talking about how are they connected to the business? How are they engaging with people?
Mm.
How's their own mental health? It's very hard to sit in a bedroom or a kitchen or a converted garage to do your work and not have the human contact with people.
Yeah.
I found that tough myself.
I mean, was it difficult? Like, I presume you probably have had the odd case here or there as well. Is that your worst nightmare, getting a phone call? We have a case in a factory somewhere?
It's about how you manage that risk, Damien. So when we look around our business, it's been very different for people on the ground. The experience is quite different. If you're in Wisconsin, what does it look and feel like? If you're in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
what does it look and feel like? In general, we've been very fortunate with very low case numbers across Ornua. The most difficult and challenging piece we've had is in Saudi Arabia, where 80% of our staff tested positive. Now, fortunately, they've all come through that well. But there have been real personal stories where none of our employees, but their family, they've had it and have had losses in their families as a result of COVID, which is very difficult to deal with.
Very difficult. Now, you're a man on the move, obviously, because you as CEO, you travel the world quite a lot. You're on a plane quite a lot. That's all changed and everything is now on Zoom and on webinar. Are you chomping at the bit to get back to those face-to-face meetings? Or has the way we do business changed probably forever? I mean, will you find yourself saying, I don't really need to jump on a plane as much as I used to? Or do you feel that you're going to need to have to do that again? And people like you in that situation?
Well, I had a quick look at my diary before lockdown, and the preceding 12 months, I took in the ballpark of 70 flights. And you can justify that to yourself. I need to be in Manchester at 8 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 4, getting a 6:30 flight. Or I need to be in Chicago on Tuesday, so I leave on Monday. But in hindsight, some of it is probably excess. It's habit that we got into. However, it is really important to be at the face of your customer, to have that engagement with customers. And we've customers all over the world, so you do need to travel. We've been very lucky in Ornua, I suppose, over the last number of years, in particular in things like our graduate trainee programme. We now have Irish people working for us all over the world. A couple of examples. Barry Newman joined the graduate trainee programme. And the last 10 years, Barry has lived in Algiers, Port Elizabeth in South Africa, and is currently living in Dubai. Catherine Henry joined a couple of years ago. Catherine is a science graduate. Catherine worked in Moorpark, then went out to Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and she's now in Chicago. So having people abroad representing Ornu, representing Ireland, is fantastic for us.
But have you a headache now in saying to staff like that, look, stay put, don't come home for Christmas?
Certainly, that's worth thinking that through, Damien, and I know that firsthand. With Ornu, I've been very fortunate. I've travelled the world, but I've lived abroad twice, in Chicago and LA. And they're life-changing experiences, wonderful experiences. In fact, we went out, myself and Barbara went out to Chicago with two sons and came home with three. So my younger son, Shamie, is an American citizen. So it's a special place in our heart. And I know what it's like to come home at Christmas, you know, to come home to the family that you haven't seen maybe for four, five, 6 months, come home to mum and dad, you know, get that meal at home, go to your local pub for a few pints. But certainly that has changed. And under these current COVID conditions, we'll absolutely be following whatever the government guidelines are. And people will have to follow that protocol, primarily to keep them healthy and safe.
But are you hearing that we're a little over-restrictive maybe in Ireland when you're talking to your colleagues around the world?
I don't think so, Damien. And it's very different depending on the markets you're in. Some have regional lockdowns, national lockdowns. I think it's something we're going to have to live with going into the future. And there are two parts to it. One is when you look at the consumer and how that has changed. So in general, food is consumed in the home or out of the home. And certainly during pandemic, food service or out of the home eating has completely collapsed. So that's gone. Starting to come back now in some markets, but the pace at which it comes back depends on the market itself. The retail side, on the flip of that, saw a huge boom. We saw it ourselves. We all went out and we panic bought. We stocked up huge weekly shop. And we've seen that same reaction all over the world. And Ornua, we're very fortunate. We have a very balanced portfolio. We have ingredients, food service and consumer business. And we've been very fortunate through that to see a positive outcome.
There are huge challenges facing dairying, changing food habits. You talk about it there. Climate, of course, and reducing the carbon footprint of dairy farming in Ireland and dealing with all of that. Of course, there's Brexit. There's the European Green Deal. There's a lot of challenges there. But what's your own prognosis if you crystal ball into the future for the Irish dairy industry?
Interesting, Damien, that, you know, we've been completely consumed by COVID-19 for the last 6 months. You know, if you just take it here in Ireland and recent conversations about getting the NPHET numbers every night, there's every conversation about it. But that's on top of everything that every business has been dealing with. And in the dairy sector for Ornua, two huge pieces at play over the last 12 months were Brexit, which is hurtling towards us at the 1st of January, and indeed US tariffs, which President Trump imposed 25% tariff on dairy products going into the US as a result of an airline dispute between Boeing and Airbus. So we've to deal with all those challenges as an industry and COVID on top of it. There are a lot of big pieces to play on that. But in general, you'd have to say that Ireland and dairy is well placed. And on the sustainability piece of it, Damien, I mean, at a very simple level, you have to think about it. Irish families who manage and farm land that's been handed down from generation to generation, with cows who are out eating grass, who are nurtured and looked after in traditions that have been handed down from generation to generation, coupled with some of the best education that people have today. Compare that to a factory farm in somewhere like Southern California, where you have 10,000 animals that they need air conditioning or water sprayed on them to keep them cool. They don't ever get to see a blade of grass and they're fed corn.
But the feeling is that maybe we're growing too fast here post quotas, and you know, there are EPA figures to kind of point to that and the impact that it's having on the environment. Should we have a look at maybe controlling the growth?
I think as an industry, Ireland dairy sector understand they have a responsibility to look at the sustainability challenges. I don't think anybody will shirk away from that. I think farmers know that. There's great support being offered, whether it's through Chagas and the MAC curve or Borbia and their sustainability audits. So I think there's great learnings, great understanding and great opportunity for changes on farm. I think it'd be very hard for Irish farmers to hear they have to restrict output given that they were under quotas for so long.
And just before we go, John, is demand for Irish dairy products, are they growing? Because as I said, you know, there is the growth in veganism and people are, you know, cutting back, you know, in animal proteins and so on and so forth. And there is this big debate about it. But what's the global story with regards to demand for dairy products, and Irish in particular?
And the good news there, Damien, is global dairy demand is in growth.
In growth?
In growth. And Ireland is uniquely placed because of the quality of the product. And I love telling the story, Damien. You know, if you take a packet of Kerrygold butter and open it and put it beside a packet of butter from anywhere else around the world, our product is yellow, it's soft and creamy and tastes fantastic. All of that because the milk we put into it comes from grass. And the quality of Irish farms and the quality of produce that they do is second to none in the world. So I think it's a positive outlook for dairy consumption and it's a positive outlook for Irish dairy, in particular when you look at the combination of the farmers in Ireland, the co-ops in Ireland and routes to market through Ornua.
Right. OK. Well, as I said, congratulations to Ornua and Roisin on winning that award this week and hitting that €1 billion figure. It's quite the story indeed. And John, we look forward to maybe chatting to you after Christmas and maybe we'll be able to talk about football championships and all that. I know you're a big Dubs fan, but we'll see how we go over the next few months. But thanks as always for joining us on the programme this morning. That's John Jordan there of Ornua, which, of course, are owners of the iconic Kerrygold brand.